Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, we announce with sorrow the passing away of Mrs. Bastiana van Herk on June 11 at the age of almost 83 years. Opportunity for condolences will be held Monday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. at Eden's Funeral Home, and the funeral service will be held on Tuesday morning at 10:30 in this church, with Reverend Dan Hollander officiating. Also, we have heard that Mrs. Maria Visser of the Lethbridge congregation passed away last night. Also, a sister-in-law of the de Kock family in the Netherlands has passed away in this past week. Let us sing, therefore, Psalter 281. Stanzas 1, 2, and 3, mindful of our human frailty, is the God in whom we trust, he whose years are everlasting, he remembers we are dust. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 281.
The portion of God's Word which we wish to read this morning you can find recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, thereof chapter 27, Acts 27. But first we will read the Holy Law of the Lord. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 27. And when it was determined that we should sail into Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. And entering into the ship of Andrymetium, we launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia. One Artachus of Macedonia, of Thessalonica, being with us, and the next day we touched at Sidon. And Julius courteously entreated Paul, and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. And there the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing into Italy, and he put us therein. And when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us, we sailed under Greek over against Salmone, and hardly passing it, came unto a place which is called the Fair Havens, nigh whereunto was the city of Lasea. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them, and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to Phoenicia, and there to winter, which is an haven at Crete, and lie toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they have obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close to Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind, called Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail and were so driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me in this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gained a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. Then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under the color, as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship, Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, Except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then were they all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And we were all in the ship 260 souls. And when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible to trust in the ship. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea, and loosed the rudder bands, and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and made toward shore, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast, and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose, and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea, and get to land, and the rest some on boards, and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all save to land. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. and Mrs. Jan and Geneva van Hagenbos, who were blessed with the birth of a baby girl on June 11. Also Dustin Grisnick, who had a surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest each and every one that has come up in this morning hour, and the messages that must be brought from this place, the messages of death and the messages of birth, the messages of sickness, that is all in thy counsel. Wilt thou remember those that mourn, relatives in our midst, who will stand in this week when thou wilt spare them at an open grave, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, those that must miss their loved ones far away. Lord, thou alone art able to give the strength that is necessary in such times in this life. And thou knowest the missing. Thou knowest that there is separation between us and our loved ones. And then we do experience a little of what thou hast said in paradise. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So there shall come separation in the lives of each and every one of us, for we must die. These were old, but also the young can die and do die. And thou knowest that we have from our side no impression thereof, unless thou wilt bless and sanctify the callings, and especially thy holy word. We ask it of thee, Lord, in this morning hour, and when we are come together under thy word, that thou wilt send forth also thy Holy Spirit to be among young and old together. Look upon those that have received a well-born child, gladness in the midst of their family, when thou dost increase the numbers thereof. Wilt thou supply for a mother and child together, Give that it may be a child born to be born again. Bind the seriousness of life upon them and upon each and every one of us, which is not bound upon us by nature, but we live as thy word does say, without wisdom, then we are as the beasts that perish. Could it please thee, then to, in this day, give us that wisdom that we cannot miss on our journey to a great eternity, traveling by nature upon a broad way, enjoying all the pleasures of this world, and without a care for the need of our soul. Lord, we can only beseech it of thee, who art only able to give it unto us. Wilt thou send forth then thy light and thy truth, that they may lead, that they may guide us unto thy holy hill, not only in an outward way into thy tabernacle, but may it be even unto the substance which thou dost proclaim in thy word and will have proclaimed in the midst of thy church. Remember the child that has been in the hospital in this past week. Wilt thou heal him in his body? In the continuing needs, remember him and all that care for him. Supply for the parents and all the other children also that have special needs. Teach them in the days of their youth to remember their Creator. And all of us together, the young people and the children, oh, give that the callings in the days of youth may be sanctified, and that the fear of thy name may be planted in their young hearts, that they may be kept from the ways of sin, that they may be made to seek their Creator in the days of their youth, that those that seek thee early shall find thee. Remember us all together in this day, all those that do bring thy word in the midst of this world, thy servants that are sent out, the elders, those that take the active part in the services, give what is necessary, and could it please thee, in the poor and dry times in which we are living, and because we have departed from thee days without number, days wherein Satan goes about to destroy. Lord, could it please thee to show us yet a token of thy favor, a little blessing, a little crumb, or a little light for the sake of thy people that are in the Meshech of this world and that travel through a wilderness and that have to learn what lives within their own hearts, the rebellion that is within, the wretchedness and the misery, in order that thy name may be glorified in the free salvation of a poor and a wretched creature. Oh, look upon each and every one of thy dear children known by thee in the place where they are in this morning hour, whether it is in a way of backsliding, that they do exist in this world, with the knowledge of thee, with the remembrance of former days, with a burdened heart under all the ways of sin, and yet not able to bring themselves back again into the way. O Lord, thou who didst leave the 99 to seek out thy wandering church, oh, could it please thee to remember them also in this morning hour and to revive thy work in the midst of the years. Begin also where there is no beginning. Open where there is no opening. Uncover where there is only hypocrisy. Show to us for the first or by renewal the sin and the iniquity that lives within. Open unto us that way of free and sovereign grace, Show unto us thine only begotten Son, and that ground, that foundation, upon which thou wilt save thy church. Glorify thy name. Forgive our many sins. Help us in the preaching. Strengthen us in the body. Feed our poor souls. For Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 184, stanzas 1 through 4. Save me, O God, and because the floods come in upon my soul, I sink in depths where none can stand, deep waters o'er me roll. We announce to the congregation that a male members meeting will be held Monday evening, June 17th at 8 o'clock p.m. The consistory has set the following duo for deacon, Mr. David Arnold Dusen and Mr. Hybert DeLeo. The result of the pew sampling will also be discussed. Seniors' morning has been changed to Thursday morning, June 20, at 10 o'clock in the morning. The last collection today is for the Student Support Fund, Psalter 184, 1 through 4.
Thank you.
congregation, the words of our text you can find in the portion of God's Word that was read to you, Acts chapter 27, and thereof the last part of verse 44, Acts 27, verse 44, these words, "And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." So far, the words of our text. The safe escape of all to land. First, for whose sake this escape was. Second, how that this escape took place. The safe escape of all to land. First, for whose sake this escape was. Second, how this escape took place. We have congregation before us a very peculiar portion of the Holy Scriptures. It is a history, but it is a history in which we find very much detail concerning the voyage of the Apostle Paul from Jerusalem unto Rome. And indeed, it was a very peculiar voyage. Children, and then it has not been difficult for you to sit and listen to this entire chapter, because that is not a voyage which has gone like most other voyages, but we have heard that there was a very great storm, and that those and that were in that ship, and they have very, very narrowly escaped with their lives. We can, I think, each one of us, because we are a human being, then we can recognize the characteristics of human nature in these men, in the circumstances wherein they have come, then when we are placing ourselves in those circumstances, and then we can understand how that they have felt, we can understand their fears, and we can understand the reasons that they have acted, that they have done what they have done. But congregation, there are also those in our midst who will also recognize something of another life, recognize something of the dealings of the Lord with his people. And what are their fears? What are their despondencies? The promise, the hopes, and the deliverance. The Bible that says through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom of God. And that will be with each and every one of those that will one day enter in a natural way, more or less, but certainly in a spiritual way. But what now will be the end? That will be even as it is in the words of our text. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. All of them. That means that there was not one missing, and they were counted. We read, and we were in all in the ship 66 souls. The church of the Lord that is counted. We do not say that these men and that they are each and every one the church of the Lord, no. But God's church congregation, they are counted. And these men, each and every one of them also was counted. And each and every one of them, they did come under the unconditional promise of the Lord. We hope to hear that, the Lord willing. Every single one of that elect church that is written in the book of God. And so every single one of them that is known by the Lord and watched over by the Lord in this life. We read in God's word that when He begins, He will surely make an end. That is with the judgments upon the wicked. But that is also with His church. He is the Alpha and He is the Omega. But congregation, how do they come there? Then they are coming, each and every one, individually, to land upon that shore. No, they are not landing there all in a shipload. But every one of them that has to be in that sea, each and every one that is a separate wonder, that they are landing safe upon that shore, it is congregation and escape. What do we read in God's word concerning that church? That the righteous, they are scarcely saved. Scarcely saved. That is not from the side of the Lord, but that is from the experience of that people, and that through many fears they will escape all safe to land. Oh, how was it with that people in the beginning? If you had told them in the beginning that they would have to lose everything in order that they may enter into the kingdom of God. O congregation, they do not believe it. The Apostle Paul, he is also saying something of this in the beginning. Then he is warning them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives." But what do we read? The centurion nevertheless believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken of Paul. No congregation, that church, oh, they can receive it with their mind, but they do not believe it in their hearts. What do we read? We read that the south wind that begins to blow softly. And when that south wind blows softly, then we read that they think that they have gained their purpose. Oh, they think what, children? They think it is all going to go well. They think it is going to go as other voyages. They think that very soon that they are going to be coming to their destination. How is that with God's church? When they have been delivered out of that land of bondage, all than they thought. They thought that it will be but a short time, and then they are going to come into that land of Canaan. And when the south wind blew softly, O congregation, and then it is in the heart of the people, O, now I receive the blessing of the Lord. O, now I receive the favor of the Lord. And then they are receiving the love of the Lord, and that is poured out in their heart. And then that south wind that is blowing softly, then my heart that is going so out unto the Lord, and then it is indeed, I believe it in my heart, that so it is going to go from step to step unto Zion. Oh, and that south wind that is blowing softly, then it is going to be different with me. It is going to be different with me than what I read in God's word. Then I read of a Peter that he has denied the Lord. And I read of a David, how that he has sinned against the Lord. And I read about a Hezekiah, and that he has lifted up himself in pride against the Lord. And these, well, they had to be punished by the Lord. But I will keep myself from mine iniquity. Oh, and the south wind that blew softly. No, then I am not going to be visited with the same trials, with the same afflictions as God's children have been visited. And then it is not going to be the same as me as with a Naomi. Then it is not going to be the same as me as it was with a Job. And congregation, because I really do not believe it. Well, then the warnings of the children of the Lord, then I also do not take heed to. And I lose the precious instruction how to come through those trials that are coming. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Yes, they shall come there. They will come there. They must come there. But congregation, how shall they come there? How do we know that they shall come? We know they shall come there because the Lord has promised it. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Does God deliver for the sake of someone else? What do you think, children? Does God sometimes deliver for the sake of someone else? Well, we read in Sodom how that the Lord would have spared Sodom, for if there were but 10 righteous. And we read of Zoar that city that was spared for Lot's sake. And now we hear it also here. The Lord says to Paul that he must stand before Caesar. And now it was because Paul must stand before Caesar. That is the will of the Lord. That is the decree of the Lord. Now the Lord, he also found it to be in his own good pleasure that he would spare every man that was on that ship for the sake of Paul did not have to be so. It could be that everyone had been destroyed and that only one man had lived. But it was, congregation, not the good pleasure of the Lord. And now the Lord says to the Apostle Paul that I have given all these men unto thee. And now I am going to spare them for your sake. O congregation, do we not see something here? Do we not see something of a ground and of a foundation? Wherefore the Lord is delivering his church. Oh, it is for the sake of his only begotten Son and him alone that the Lord is sparing each and every one of his church. No, it is not because the Lord has compassion because of their misery. It is not because of the merit of this one or of that one. No, it is alone, because of the good pleasure of the Lord, for the sake of his only begotten Son, that he is sparing his church, and he is giving each and every one of that people unto his Son. Oh, you understand. When that is the word of the Lord, then the safety of that people is so sure. Oh, there is no question, because it is grounded, it is founded upon the eternal decree of God. It is founded upon the word of God. It is grounded in the will of God. And therefore, it surely must come to pass. And so it is going to be said of each and every one of that church. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land, not one will be missing. But how will they come there? That is our second thought. Oh, when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclidon. Not long after what? It is, congregation, not long after that south wind blew. And they thought that they obtained their purpose, that they have to experience something else. And then it is as a turning. Oh, it is not long after. Before the Lord, he is with sweetness drawing that people out of the darkness of nature into that marvelous light. Oh, it is not long after that things, they begin to take a different turn. Why, congregation? Because it is a people. They enter through a straight gate, and they will walk upon a narrow way. And that narrow way, that is in the experience of that people, that is becoming narrower and narrower. That is that the Lord, he has dealings with his own people. Why? Because they need to be instructed. They need to be taught. They need divine lessons, or they need lessons not only in the catechism class, children. That is so necessary, yes, but we need more lessons than that. We need lessons in our life. We need lessons in our heart. Will you not ask the Lord? Ask the Lord to teach you, to instruct you, to lead you in those lessons of life. A tempestuous wind, it goes wrong. It goes wrong according to that people. But it is according to the will of the Lord. It is in the Lord's hand. The wind, also the tempestuous wind, who makes the wind, boys and girls, that is the Lord. That is not under the control of man. And we know we can read it in the Bible that the Lord, he can speak. And he can say, peace, be still. But he can also withhold it. He makes that wind to come, and he makes that wind to go. A tempestuous wind. And how is it in the experience of the people? From their side, congregation, it goes so wrong. It goes so wrong. Because that wind, that only hinders me. That does not help me. That is not furthering me in my purpose. That is not bringing me along my way. It is not making me to prosper. It is not bringing me to end in the place where I need to come, no. But it is coming against me. Providentially, my family, my health, my business, spiritually, that fountain of tears that is dried up, I receive no more that same place as I received before by the Lord, that access to Him, that sweetness that is subsiding, then it is in my experience that what I thought was the life from above, that it seems like that life from the Lord, that I thought was from the Lord, it seems like that life that is just fading away. That it does not increase, no. It is not getting better, but that it is getting worse. And then there is congregation turmoil. When I remember how that it was before, and when I think about the sweetness, when I think about the blessings, when I remember the former days, and how that I came up unto the house of God, and when I see how now that it is going, and that it is going not forward, and that it is not profitable, and that it is not prosperous upon that journey that I thought was from the Lord, then there is turmoil. Turmoil. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. Oh, that ship that is caught up. That means that those men, they are struggling. They are struggling against those dealings of the Lord. They are struggling against the providences of the Lord. They are struggling against the way of the Lord. And then it says that they let her drive. Why? Well, then they find that the Lord is too strong for them. And then they have to let it go. They have to let it go. And congregation, so it is sometimes with those people, that they have to let it go. That they have to agree and to say, Lord, it is now thy will. Or, and if it is not too bad, if it is not too bad, well, then they can even have some pious words. Then they can speak to one another or about submission, that we must submit to the Lord, that we must go along, that we must not fight against him, that it is his own will. But congregation, see what it comes to. Because the Lord does not do a half work. No, that true work of God, that is not in our mind only, that will not be only on our lips, that is more than notion. What does the Lord say about this ship? The Lord says that that ship, that has to be lost. That has to be lost. And I don't want that ship to be lost. You understand that? Because that ship that is my life, and I cannot lose my life. What does the devil say? He says, skin for skin, all that a man has, he will give for his life. He will give for his life. But what does the Lord say? He says, if we will save our life, we will lose it. But if we will lose our life for his name's sake, then we shall save it. Thus, the Lord will see to it that he will take it away. He will take it away from his children. But they will struggle. They will struggle to maintain it. Thus, there is that struggle against the dealings of the Lord. Do you know what we read here? They had much work to come by the boat. Is there not a people that understand it? Much work to come by the boat. That is the reality in the life of God's children. When the Lord begins to strip them of everything that they are building upon, then they have much work to come by the boat. Because they want to keep that boat afloat. Then they are trying with every effort that they are able to maintain themselves. Then they have to try to uphold themselves. Then they are trying to justify themselves. And then they are seeking out something of their own righteousness before the Lord. Oh, much work to come by the boat. And even we read, they use helps, undergirding the ship. Do you know what that means, children? They have taken ropes in the midst of that storm. You can understand that because they are afraid that the whole thing is going to fall apart. And they have taken ropes and they have passed them underneath that boat and they have tried to tie that boat together. They are going with all their might, with all their wisdom, with all their ingenuity, they are going to keep that boat, that ship, from falling apart. From falling apart. They are using the people, even the Word of God. All they are using the examples out of the Word of God. All then they are making excuses for themselves. They say, oh, but look at David's sin. But look at Solomon's sin. All then they are using helps, even to tie up that ship of their life. Oh, then they are showing unto the Lord, though there is so much against them, then they are showing unto the Lord at least their good resolutions, at least their good intentions, maybe even making before the Lord a vow. Oh, they use helps, undergirding that ship, fearing lest they fall into the quicksands. Oh, and then they are looking for some way that they can maintain it. But we read, being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lighten the ship. You know what that is, children? They lighten the ship. That ship is too far down in the water. And they are afraid that ship is going to sink. And now they have to make a choice. They take the things that are the least valuable and they throw them overboard. Maybe the merchandise that they were traveling with from Jerusalem unto Rome, that they were going to receive money for, that they have paid for. But, yeah, it is dangerous. And now they have to give in a little. They give in a little. In order that ship that is riding a little higher in that water. Congregation. Then a man, he is relieving himself somewhat. Then he is relieving himself of part of that burden. Just some things. Or a confession, perhaps. Then they have found something in their life. That, yes, they will admit it. They will confess it before the Lord. And congregation, that makes it a little lighter for them along that journey, that ship is riding a little higher in that water. Maybe it is their neighbor that they go to him and they confess. Oh, then that ship that is not riding so deep in that water. But how long does it last? Or that was congregation the second day. And that boat that is still tossed with a tempest. It is not enough. It is not enough. Do you know that the Lord, he is continuing? Why? Because it is his own church. It is his own children. And he is going to bring them to that place that he himself designed. What do we read? There is another day, a third day. Do you know what they do on that third day? Well, that ship that is riding still too low in that water. And then we read, that is remarkable. Then we read with our own hands. That he records it as a very remarkable thing. We have tossed out of the ship the tackling. You understand? it goes further. It goes further in the life of the people. Because to throw the merchandise is one thing, but to throw the very tackling of that ship overboard, then you understand that their desperation that is becoming very, very great. Oh, it goes deeper. It goes deeper. It goes to paradise. It goes to our fall. It goes not only about this sin or that sin, but it goes to my nature. It goes to an inward corruption from the crown of the head to the sole of the feet. They threw overboard the very tackling of the ship. And then what do we read? And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. O congregation, there is for that people no light, no light. There is not a ray of light. There is not only no sun, but there is not even a star. That is on the fourth day, on the fifth day, on the sixth day, on the seventh day. Oh, there is not a star. Oh, if they could only but see one star. Oh, that people, when the Lord is stripping, and when I have to lose everything, and then congregation, for the Lord to be silent, that I receive nothing anymore from above, that it is so quiet from heaven. Oh, that word of God that is closed, then not heaven is opened, but hell. Hell is opened because this people, they have to die. And the Lord, he does not show to them a single ray of light. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appear, and no small tempest lay upon us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. The last glimmer, because they have used all their wisdom, they have no more anything that they are able to do. And they do not know which way to go. And they have no control over what is happening. And there is only tempest. Let us sing. 210, 2 and 3. The thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase. With sleepless eyes and speechless pain, my fainting spirit grieved in vain. The blessedness of long ago made deeper still my present woe. 2 and 3 of 210. when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, 'Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island.'" What is it? It is, congregation, the appearance of the Lord. The appearance of the Lord. And when does he appear? He appears when all hope that they should be saved was then taken away. Then the Lord comes. Then the Lord comes. And to whom does he come? Oh, children. Would you rather be the captain? Would you rather be the centurion? Or would you rather be one of the prisoners? Would you rather be Paul? He was probably in that night lying down in a dark hole in that ship as a prisoner on his way to Rome. In that turmoil of that storm, and then the Lord comes, and the Lord stands by him. Oh, we cannot fathom it. That the Lord, he has a message. There is a message from heaven. That people, they had not a ray of light. But the Lord, he is dwelling in the light. And who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, and who beholdeth the things that are in the heavens and in the earth? And then he knew what was happening upon this ship. And he comes, and he has a message, and that message is, "Fear not. Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar." Did Paul know he had to be brought before Caesar? Oh, yes, he did. How did he know that? Well, the Lord had spoken it already to him. Then he was before the Sanhedrin, and there was an uproar. They would have taken his life. And when he was in that castle, then the Lord has appeared to him. And he has said to him, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou also bear witness at Rome." Yes, Paul knew that he had to stand before Caesar. And now the Lord comes again. And he says, "Paul, fear not, for thou must be brought before Caesar." Second time. A second time, the Lord confirms it for him. And why? Because Paul needed it to be confirmed. Paul? Yes, Paul. And why? Congregation, the Lord does not waste his grace. The Lord, he says to Paul, "Fear not." What was his fear? Did he fear for himself? We do not know. Doesn't say it in the Bible. But he feared. Oh, did he then fear for the rest of those 275 men? Oh, congregation, what a fear can lay in the heart of God's children when it is even not for themselves, but when it is for their loved ones, when it is for their congregation, when it is for their neighbor. Oh, and then Paul also fears. And Paul, he has warned them before we heard it, that he perceived that this voyage would be with much damage, not only to the ship, but he said also of our lives. He perceived that. Thus, the Lord had not shown him that, but that was his own perception. And he did not know yet what the Lord is now saying to him in that dark night, when the Lord is confirming his word, but then the Lord is giving unto him all the rest of those men that are in the ship with him. Lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. They are given to him by promise. By promise. Not only were they given to him, but the Lord makes it known to him. Thus, that is more than just being given to him. And why does the Lord then make that known? The Lord makes that known for his consolation. The Lord makes that known for his comfort. That is the tender mercy. The tender mercy of the Lord, that he may be quiet in all his fears. Oh, the Lord makes it known to him for the sake also of the people, that he may declare it unto them, that it may also be for their sake, that it may be also for their courage, for their courage. They are going to need that courage. They're going to need it in a very special way, very, very soon. The Lord makes it known to him for his glory, that when they come to the end of that journey, that they know from where that they have received this blessing. Oh, how easy is Paul now? How easy. Is that storm quiet? No, far from it. That storm that rages still. But Paul, he says, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Congregation. One crumb of faith. Oh, that is sufficient to remove mountains. Mountains. In the midst of that storm, then Paul, he says, be of good cheer, all young people. Do you not see the blessedness of the service of the Lord? That will bring through every trial that is here below, and it will bring through even death unto eternity. Howbeit, he says, we must be cast upon a certain island. There's something coming. There shall be no loss to any man's life, but there is going to be a loss of this ship. Something still has to happen. An awful thing. They will have to go through it. It is not over yet. Paul says, the very ground that is under your feet, that is going to be taken away, and you are going to feel it. You are going to feel it, that what you are standing on right now, that is going to be removed from under you. Oh, that is no light matter. What is coming for these 275 and 76 men. That is, humanly speaking, that is to their death. O congregation, of how much weight is the promise of the Lord now, when they must go through it? Oh, there are times when that church, they have nothing, nothing, nothing except the word of the Lord. What he has spoken to my soul, that is all. After 14 days of fasting, Paul, he says, take some meat. Why? Not a hair. Not a hair shall fall from the head of any of you. And what do we read of the people, those men? They were of good cheer, of good cheer. How is that possible? Because there is hope. There is hope. That is the only way that it is possible. Congregation, then there is something of a hoping upon that word that the Lord has spoken unto his servant. How long does it last, that hope? Is it going to always be the same? Will the Lord put that hope to shame? Oh, that ship that has to be thrust in, that has to be thrust in. There comes a time that it has to take place. And they have to go forward in it. What is dreaded by their flesh. That can be for the church of God. Do you know we read in God's word? The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And then they will have to put off this tabernacle, this life. How will that go? That is congregation from one world into another world. And no man living knows what that is. That is fearful. And that ship that has to be thrust in. And there comes a time that the Lord also says to his church, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And now what do we read? Then they draw up the anchors and they hoist up the mainsail into the wind. And then it happens. Then there is suddenly a very great noise. And then that fore part of the ship that is stuck fast, congregation. All then that people, those men, they realize what is taking place in this moment. And how is it now for them? Or when they realize what is now happening, then you can imagine how much that means to them, what Paul has spoken. Not a hair. Not a hair shall fall from any one of you. Four parts stuck fast. And then that hinder part, we read, that is broken. Broken with the force of those waves. And then those men, they are watching. And that ship, despite all those ropes, despite all their efforts, that they had to keep it together. No, they cannot keep it together anymore. And now the Lord is going through. And now what have they left? In that moment, when everything is sinking out from underneath them, what have they left in that moment but the word of the Lord? The word of the Lord, not a hair, not a hair, not a hair shall fall from any one of you. And then the soldiers kill the prisoners. Oh, the temptations, everything happening. And one time, the fear is that children, young people, is that the time to be converted? No. No, we need to be converted. Then we need something in that moment. Then we need to have that word of the Lord. And that may be in that moment the support of our soul when the hinder part of that ship that is broken with the waves. And then the first ones, they are ordered overboard to the shore. And they have to cast themselves into that boiling sea. Not a hair, not a hair. God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. And then those, they cannot swim. They cannot swim. And yet they cannot stay. They cannot stay because that ship that is sinking out from underneath them. Oh, not a hair, not a hair. Aboard, a broken piece of ship. Not a hair shall fall from any one of you. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. No, not a hair, not a hair was lost from any one of you. Why? Because he is not a man that he should lie. And he is not the son of man that he should repent. There is congregation, one foundation. Oh, it is the decree. It is the promise of the Lord. You say, young people, it is air. It is nothing. No, be careful. Be careful. The ground under your feet, that is nothing. That is nothing. This foundation, that is something. That is substance. The Father, he has set it unto his own Son. I give thee all them that sail with thee. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me, that they may be with me where I am. And all these, they shall enter in. But they shall enter, each one, as a separate wonder, as an individual wonder, having been cast into that sea and be delivered, particularly by the Lord himself. And so it will be said of them, everyone, and so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Will we be among them? Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us in the way that thou leadest all thy people. Then it must become for each and every one of us a wonder. And it must be that we are included by thee. Oh, we ask thee, Lord, come. convert us in a day of grace before that it is too late, and give us to seek thee while thou mayest be found, that we would not be without hope when that ship that is broken apart, when there is nothing more in this life, but that we may have that substance from thee that will bring us through, bring us safely to our homes with desire again to gather in this afternoon. Forgive our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 174, 1 and 2. O all ye people, bless our God. Aloud proclaim his praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. 1 and 2 of 174. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.